Blog Talk Radio.
We get closer, closer to the end. Getting closer to the second coming. The blood of the king. The blood of the king. I could've walked with them, wish I could've talked with them. They did them awful, but it was lawful. Curse is the man I ain't give on a tree. He was made a curse for you and me. The blood of the king,
blood of the king,
the blood of the king,
blood of the king,
the 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 blood of the king.
Get your life together, I'ma see y'all coming back, y'all. Detaching from the things of the world, ain't looking back, y'all. Descendants of his bloodline, the reason they attack, y'all. Come back to the covenant, the truth, and that's a fact, y'all. They put them thorns up on his head, gave him a roll. Cause he our high priest, they ain't even know. They wrote the king of the Jews on his stone. Give all praise to the ancient old. He coming back, how you can't see the prophecy. And every man will get rewarded for their deed. He gave his life, he gave his blood for you and me. So bow down to your king. Messiah coming back with healing in his wings. He went to hell, he still prevailed, he took the keys. We don't deserve to be alive, so it's your need. Bow down to the blood of the king.
Blood of the king.
Blood of the king.
Shalom, family. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom. I'm your brother, Ariel, once again, here at Kol Elohim, bringing you Ibrit culture by the way of Beth Yahweh Congregation here in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanking you once again for just tuning in and thanking Ariel for allowing me to be able to speak his word, be able to just be his puppet, and hopefully I can get myself out of the way and he can speak on the lesson that he has for us tonight. And it's not a lot, but it's enough. Always, always. It's not a lot, but it's enough. Our word is always enough for us. If we allow it, if we allow it, and we do have times in human nature, we block the blessings of Abu Yah. We block his word, you know, by not allowing it to come in and take root, not allowing it to speak to situations, not allowing it just to uplift us. You know, sometimes, and then I know me, we want to stay in that rut. We want to stay in that feeling of sorrow. But Abba Yah always has a way out. He always has an answer. He always gives us options. And the option is to choose him. Choose life. Choose life. Before I get to rambling and talking, let me open up with a prayer and then the benediction.
Hallelujah. 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 God, once again, for allowing us to come to the Shabbat door. I believe that the door is open from the chest. Hallelujah. The door is just cracking. Just cracking open. And what a grand Shabbat this is, Abba Yah.
have a double portion today. A double portion, the feast of Yom Teruah, the beginning of your month also, you know, and we walking into the seventh month. There's a lot going on today, right now, if we just take in the bath of Abiyah. And thank you, Father, for allowing and keeping up with our count, with your counsel, Father. Brother Shabbat, I'd like to put a special blessing upon his life and the calling that you put upon him. Brother Yariyah, like a special blessing upon his life and the calling that you put upon him as well, Father, for being our timekeeper, Father, because it's not an easy thing, but a tedious thing that they have to go through each and every day to watch your moon, Father, to watch the seasons, to watch the time, to be able to come and tell the congregation your appointed time, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the spirit you have put upon them two brothers, Father. Abiyah, I ask and pray for all those who are ailing in any type of way, Father, whether it be physical, mental, spiritually, Father, emotionally, Father, that you uplift them, Father, that you give them the strength to know that there's answers in you. There's answers in your word, Father, that each one that's going through a battle, Father, that they unsheath their sword, Father, and fight back. Pull that sword out of that sheath and know that they have the ultimate weapon. You know, as this foolish world believe in weapons, there's no other weapon, Father, than your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, your word, Father, that we can fight and march forward with. Give them the strength, Father, to move forward, Father. Give them the strength to recover, Father, in anything that they go through, Father, Yah. Abiyah, I ask and pray for everybody who is toiling in your word, Father, that you continue to strengthen them, Father. Those who are just out here in this world hustle and bustle, Father, and trying to make it, Father, and trying to hold on to Yahushua's Zikri, Father, and as the world pulls and tags and pulls on them, Father, that you strengthen them, Father, because we know the obstacles that we have to go through. You know the obstacles that we have to go through. You know the tools that go through our mind, Father, each and every day. You know our battles, Father. No one else knows, but you know our battle. You even know the ones that we try to hide. Help us in those areas, Father. Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I got my glasses right here. Once again, family, I pray everybody is doing well. I pray everybody is able to settle down, you know, after this works, or those who are on their way to the Aki. So those who are on their way home, and that y'all get home, y'all get y'all home safely. Because I know y'all would rather be home than out in the streets right now. You know that y'all looking forward to this double Shabbat, the blowing of the trumpet. You know, we know here what the blowing of the trumpet signifies. You know, it signifies there's a king coming. One of them anyway. You know, there's many things that Israel blew trumpets for. But this one, it could represent battle too, war too, something going on or a gathering. And there's many things that why Abba has given us. But the one we all shaman for, the one we all listening for is that Yom Teruah, the one when that king cracked the sky, when that angel blows that shofar for a long period of time. And we know who's been listening and hearing the shofar for some time now, we'll know that voice. We'll know that, and listen to that. The shofar has a voice. It has a voice that speaks to those who have an ear to hear, that speaks to those. And every time my brother Shabba Allen, brother Ivy blow that shofar, especially brother Ivy, he'll send out a text. I'm blowing a shofar. For me, he's preparing our ears for the king to come. For the king to come and everybody else around him. And he's being a witness. He's being a witness every time he go out there on a Shabbat when the sun sets, he blows it. Or when a lesson is about to start, a gathering of Yahweh's people is about to start. Although we may not be in one building, but there's still a gathering right now. There's still a holy assembly that's taking place right now. Why? Because we all tuned in to listen to Abba Yah. So when he blows, it's like we're coming together. Here come the king. Yahushua is coming, y'all. Yahushua is coming. And this whole week been filled with the blessings of Yahushua for me. You know, yeah, the experiences of mine, my human experiences that as I have thought of, and Yahweh gave me my human experience to start paying attention to my human experiences and what takes place throughout a day. Throughout a day, and then first you'll learn yourself and your own human nature. Then you what would help also is we'll learn other people and their human nature. And you, for those who work down the hospital and anywhere else, there's no better place to see the human nature than working down there where sick people are and people who are coming to see sick people in and out all day long. It is at its finest. And especially here where we at in Baltimore, Maryland, when you in downtown Baltimore, you see human nature at its finest. You know, I mean, not fine as goodness, but in all aspects of human nature, all aspects. You see hurt people all day long. And we need to talk about the ones that's inside of the hospital, that's sick, that's really been in car accidents, that really have some ailment. We talking about mentally hurting people, mentally people, minds that's messed up mentally. You know, it's funny. We witnessed that today, me and Brother Mario going home. Young lady had her two kids at a crosswalk. Mario gave her plenty of room to cross. In fact, he could have pulled up, but he didn't. He could have pulled up, and she could have just went behind him because he was had enough space to get within the crosswalk. But he stopped way before that. And this young lady cussed my brother, just got indignant, walking with her two-year-old son, baby. I mean, like 2 and 4 years old, cussing, went in on my man. And he just looked at her. And I said, she angry. She's angry about something because she had plenty of room. He didn't block the way. He stopped. He allowed her to go by. But she still felt the need to cuss at him, even call him out his name. And going on in that sister's life, that she cussed his brother out, who went beyond what he had to do because he gave her more than enough room. He stopped. But it could have been a multitude of things that's happening in her life that she cussed that brother out with nothing. But I witnessed something similar to that about a month ago. But because she met a brother who has some calmness about him, who has in trying to strive and live the way Abba wants us to live, he didn't feed into him. He was like, I gave him enough room. I stopped way before I had to. And I was like, I know, brother, but he just angry. Don't take that personal. You can't take that personal. So something wrong there. But if she met a brother like I witnessed last month, the outcome would have been totally different. Same incident, same thing, but the brother, the lady come across the crosswalk, and this was in front of hospital, Green Street and Lombard. Lady, she's coming across the street, brother trying to turn a corner, and I guess he didn't see her. The brother wasn't aware like Maria was. He didn't see it, so he stopped the car. And she stopped in the middle of the street in front of his car, throwing her hands up, cussing at him and all that. And he threw his hands up, all right, my fault. But she was cussing him out. Brother started cussing back at her. Total different, same situation, total different outcome. Brother started cussing back at him. As she's still walking, she flipped the bird at him in the middle of Lombard and Green. Very busy street. Threw the van jumped out the car, got up in that sister's face, about to beat the brakes off of her. Disrespect me again. And he didn't care that she was a woman. He was going to go toe-to-toe. And some white man tried to come help. He chased the white man in the hospital. I'm going to go get, I'll beat you up, boop, 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 to you. Disrespect me. Human nature, though. Dead. He's scared. We do things when we're afraid. We react certain ways when we're afraid. We react in a defensive afterwards. But you went too far. You met someone who didn't care, who didn't know Yahweh. And I don't know if the brother knows Yahweh or not, but I know his response shows that he didn't know Yahweh, that he was about to beat this woman up as if he was beating a man up, and he didn't care if the security was standing right there. He didn't care. This downtown Baltimore, Lombard and Green Street, 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, busy. He didn't care about to beat the brakes off this girl. And in my mind, I got this. I can't let this man hit this woman. I'm always going to be out here fighting because the sister didn't have the mindset to just respect and keep on walking. Thank the Most High that he didn't hit you. Now, in Mario's situation, he came nowhere near the sister, and she still cussed him out. But the crazy thing, if she keep living that way, she going to meet a brother just like that brother jumped out the car. And she's teaching her two young ones, her two young boys that she's walking across the street. What she's showing them, what type of kids, and not saying that someone, life can change for these kids. I'm praying that they do. Praying that Abiyah gets in there and this young lady can find Yahweh. But right now, I'm a kid. She didn't know who Mario was. She didn't know who I was sitting in that car. We could have been two young dummies jumping out the car and beat her up and robbed and went in our pockets. Because today, men rob women too. Men beat up women. There is no more. Men don't do that. That's a female. That's gone. And we talk about the story, sisters. Please don't do that. Don't jump up in no man's face. Don't go back. And even brothers, because people are angry today. Don't go back and forth with people. Get home. Be apologetic. Scripture says, live peaceably with all men. It's possible. So be apologetic in these situations. Don't get out of yourself like our pride have to pull us into that. Because the world is angry. People are angry. And 9 times out of 10, they don't even know why. They don't even know why they're angry. They have something that's wrong with the human spirit. And we know what it is. They don't know Yahweh's yours. from his, and we talking about the human spirit. They don't know Yahushua. They don't know him. And it's hard for us, for those who do know Yahushua, to control the passions that goes through. It's hard for us. Because we still, in many ways, connected to this world. As long as much as Yahweh tried to pull us out, elevate our minds, the human experience try to keep us down. Try to keep us connected to this world system. The human experience, that is. That thing that Adam had to go through. In the first human experience that he had, one of them anyway, was emotion, if you want to call it emotion, was fear. One of the first ones was disobedience. He disobeyed. You know what I was saying? But we know Abba Yah. He uses the human experience. He used that. So we can grow. We can learn. We can elevate. We can look in the mirror and say, "Yah will be done, not our will. Yah will." But I'm excited because we have a double Shabbat, and the shofars are blowing, and the King is coming. The King is coming. Yahushua is coming back. Yahushua, and just before I got on the line, I had a good meditation to myself and just using my imagination that Abba Yah gave me and just looking at a table, walking into a house, and it's bright, and all you see is this big table, and you sit in there, and Yahushua is welcoming you in. Well done. Well done. Well done. And then the thing is, there's no line. There's no line. And it may seem as we are walking in single, but we're not. It's an order. But we won't realize that there's a line in the sense that when you look back, you see this person, that person, because it's going to happen so fast. That we won't realize that it was a line. It is an order. It would seem like you had only one at that moment. And Yahushua there, well done. Well done. Well done. So here we go again with the fifth installment of the journey that Abba Yah has us on. Fathers, love your children. Children, love your fathers. And the subtitle he gave me. The subtitle. It's fitting. Fitting. And take it in consideration in your walk, in our walk. He gave me, be worthy. Be worthy. Built behind that, because in my mind, I had, you are worthy. But you know, change that. Be worthy of the calling that's on your life. Be worthy. And how he talked to me about it, how he showed me that is because I already believe that you're worthy. That's why I chose you. That's why you are walking this way. That's why I called you out of that darkness. I already thought and said you was worthy. Wherever you are in this walk, whether you priest or whether you just an ordinary citizen in the kingdom of Yahweh. You're worthy. Because everybody don't get this call. I mean, they do. Everybody don't be worthy of it. Many are called, but few are chosen, right? The scripture says. So be worthy of the calling that is on your life. Wherever you are, being worthy is showing forth Yahushua at all times. Even when it says that we have to humble ourselves in the sight of someone else believing that they're exalting themselves. If you be worthy, Yahweh put you in the right place. If you be worthy, Yahweh will fight your battle. So be worthy of the calling that is on your life, wherever you are. Citizen Moray. And we know that we are a nation of priests, kings and priests. We are a nation of that. We all become Morays and Morais in certain aspects of our lives when you out there giving that word to someone, opening their eyes to the truth of Yahweh, to Yahushua. Be worthy of that. Understand that he has already called you. But we just got to be worthy. We got to be worthy of well done, my good and faithful servant, as we walk into this holy season with a renewed spirit. Trust the world is right there waiting. Halal is right there waiting. But we still have a choice, our choice, to be worthy of the calling that he called us, as the scriptures say, into his marvelous light. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen. So let's get started, family. And again, it won't be that long. We've got about four scriptures down here, but we're going to go through the word of Yahweh tonight. And again, I'm coming out to 2009, the scripture. Let's go to Malachi 4:6. This has been our mantra throughout. But so we're going to start at 4:4. We should, 4:4 to 4:6. Always going to lead with that. Because the world have to see that today is a very important day. And as we was at work, that people out and about, wherever you are, and you excited about Yom Teruah, you excited about the Shabbat, and you sharing about the Shabbat, you sharing about Yom Teruah, his holy days, his feast days. The world ain't got no problem putting their days on display. They don't have no problem with it. They ain't have no problem with putting Halloween stuff out. When was this? In June. Gearing the minds of the people towards this holiday. Gearing the minds, guiding the minds of the people towards this holiday. And this holiday, if you notice or not, Halloween has become biggest Christmas. It's on the same level. Isn't that something? On the and just for what the world, we know they fall. But look how things have taken over. Look how halal has, in the minds of those who believe that is the Messiah's birthday, it is a quote-unquote holy time that he have took another day, which the most people who have some type of idea of these holidays know that this is the witch's Sabbath, supposed to be a day that you celebrate ghosts and ghouls and evil things in fun. Right? We do these things, it's out of fun. When we was kids, we were dressed up and had all these monster costumes on and running around trick-or-treating, not understanding what we was a part of. But even every Halloween, you went to a haunted house to get scared, knowing and understanding that ghosts and ghouls and goblins and witches and demons, and you wanted to get scared by that, though. We wanted these things. We wanted to dress up as these things, adjacent. You wanted that hockey mask. But that's one part of what, in the minds of the masses, is a good holiday, is a holiday to represent holiness in their mind. We know it's not, but we're just giving a preview of how the minds of the world is always being guided. And they slowly beat down the mind and the gods of the gods, not the G-O-D, but the G-U-A-R-D. The God, like we got in our gate, they slowly beat that down, right? That slowly beat down in our mind that Halloween is on par with Christmas now, or maybe even bigger. Maybe even bigger. They at Christmas one time, once Halloween was over, they would start celebrating. But Halloween was way back in June. I saw it in Target. They had Halloween stuff out back in June. Like, goodness gracious. The Halloween candy and plates and all that out already for Halloween. But look how the masters, the mind of the masters is going further and further away from Yahweh. They're not getting closer to Yahweh. They're getting further and further away from Yahweh. More evil is being looked at as good than there is good looked at as evil. I mean, as evil is looked at as good. Or good conquering evil. That's not happening in the world. Evil is conquering what is good in the minds of the people. Because we know for a fact that evil could never conquer what Yahweh have done. But in the minds of the people, it has. It has. But that's what Yahweh said to us. The world is in darkness. The people gross darkness. And he's talking about a mindset. When he say gross darkness, it's a mindset. It is a condition of the spirit when he says gross. Go look it up for yourself. Two words when he says in the darkness, and then he says gross darkness. It is a condition of the mind when he says that people are in gross darkness. For light is here. Light is here. Amen? We're going to read about some of that light tonight, family. And what we're supposed to be doing with that light. Malachi 4:4. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, command him in Horeb, for all Yisrael, laws and right ruling. Seeing I am sending you Eliyah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with utter destruction. And again, that word lest should be until. Until. We do know he's coming to strike the earth with utter destruction. And we can look around the world and some might say, well, the judgment of Yahweh is moving. We just heard about a tsunami or earthquake somewhere that take they missing 10,000 people and so many natural disasters that's just happening all over the world. All from fires to floods to tornadoes, earthquakes, all this. But Yahushua said, don't fret. Don't worry. In Matthew 24, don't worry about that. The beginning of sorrow. Don't let that bother your heart when you look around and you see all that. Don't let that shake your foundation. That's just the beginning of sorrow. That's not even it yet. When you see all this commotion in the air, these earthquakes in diverse places, as the scripture says. Don't get shaken for that. Continue to stand on my word. When you see all this disaster going around, the end is not yet. In fact, it's just the beginning. Let's go to Matip Yahu. Matthew, for those who don't know, and let's follow the story that Abiyah gave us. Matthew 23, verses 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And again, family, remember the title. Remember what we're talking about. Father, remember the prophecy we just read in Malachi. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to your children. He's going to turn the children's hearts to the fathers. Be worthy of their calling that Abiyah has put on us. Let us be worthy. Then Yahushua spoke to the crowd and to his taught ones, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on the seat of Moses. Therefore, whatever they say to you, to God, guard and do, but do not according to their works, for they say and do not to what Yahushua just said. And many of times when we read the scriptures, we hear all the foolishness that the world got to say about the word and about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all that. Listen to what Yahushua says to his taught one and to the crowd, to the ones that was called out to turn and teach the crowd the word of Yahweh. Listen to what Yahushua says. But they sit in Moses' feet. But, you know, if you keep on reading, he's going to go through their character flaws. Flaws, right? From the crowd to the taught ones. We all have character flaws, and Yahweh is trying to purify us all. But he's going to put them on Front Street. He's going to go through everything, but that's not the thought. But I just wanted to give that backdrop just in case somebody had read this and say, oh, man, they were terrible. But it does not neglect what he said in the beginning. And the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That be to us today. If we're bringing the word up to today, if we're making it alive today, what does that mean to us? And we just read in Malachi, remember Moshe, my servant. The line, the thought, the line of thought that Abiyah will give us tonight. Because it's for the taught ones and it's for the crowd. It's for those who are charged to take his word out and teach it. And it's for those who have also been called to be a part of this kingdom. Follow along, family. So let's go to Shemot. I told y'all you ain't going to be that long tonight. Shemot, Exodus 18, starting at verse 11, we're going from verse 11 to 27. And again, we're laying the foundation, which we have been. God, we've been laying the foundation. And again, we have to ask the question, why? To each one of us, we have to ask the question, why? Be worthy of the calling that's on your life. Be worthy. And this is, we have read this before. It's just an order that Yahweh is setting up for the children of Israel. But we're going to read it in case somebody have not heard it. It's an order for the nation of Israel. Sometimes I believe we forget that. I believe that it is not at the forefront that we are representing a nation. That in our deeds, what we do makes our name great. How we live brings shame on our name. It's our choice. And if we want to make our name great or if we want to bring shame on it. And I know I ain't got the
break that down and explain that, because someone may come up in their mind. It's almost like you got to give disclaimers all the time, because you know human nature. Human nature is always trying to give a rebuttal about something. You'll find that through the word that Paul did it, yes, Yahushua did it. It's like they had to give rebuttals because they understood the of human nature. What we've been talking about since I've been online. What Abba Yah is trying to clean up, right? Since the fall of Adam. He's trying to bring us to a higher level of existence, if we understand that. A higher level of existence. Think about that, though, fam. Abba is trying to bring this mud, this dirt, to a higher level of existence. But this mud, this dirt, always fighting, always running, always afraid, and I'm talking about myself. Y'all done heard the dreams that brothers done had about me, Brother Dave Welling, Brother Harbelly, and I had about myself. I don't hide them. I tell them. The higher existence that Abba Yah is trying to give this human. Right? The lowest of the low. He even had to send his son down to show us how to elevate this human experience. But we fight. We're afraid. We don't want that elevation in this human experience. Because it can happen. Just think about a higher existence. What will be a higher existence in this human experience? Change in the twinkling of an eye. We can't get no higher than that. Get no higher when we change in the twinkling of an eye. We don't want it. Yes, we do. I ain't gonna say that. We want it. We just hold on to this flesh a little bit too much. Some of us anyway. I won't give a blanket statement. Some of them. And I truly believe that, especially in our congregation, if you're a part of Beth Yahweh, you want the higher experience. You want the higher elevation. You want it. I will not say that. I would never say that, because I see the toil. I see the work. But I also see the adversary, and I also see our own human nature that holds on us, that pulls on us, that nags us, that sometimes won't allow us to elevate this human experience. I also see that. But you never hear Brother Ariel say that, because I know for a fact that you ain't showing up to Shabbat. You ain't struggling. And Yahweh, as he whispers in my ears, I know he whispered in y'all ears too. If you have taken that dip, if you have made any type of walk towards Yahweh, maybe 1 month, 1 day, 2 years, 100 years, don't matter. You have made some type of conscious decision to say, I will serve you. But I understand that we all is connected to this day, to this earth. And this human experience get in the way of our elevation. But Abba has time, but we don't have time, if you can understand that. Time is on Abba's side. Time ain't on our side, family. It's not on our side. So we have to continue to elevate in this human experience that we go through. We have to elevate continually so Abba can take us to that next level. And there is another level in the human experience. It is. Now, I know that Yahweh is greater than all the mighty ones. Indeed, in the matter in which they acted proudly above them. And this is our brother Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, for those who don't know the backdrop of the story.
and he's coming to see his daughter and his grandkids. And he's observing what's happening with Moses. You know, and Moses is telling him everything that Abba Yah has done for them, how he has freed them and everything. And this brother here, he's a priest of Yahweh. You know, and now he coming to know and understand that they, because at this time, from what the brother just said, is many gods this time too. Mankind at this time has many gods. Even at this time, father-in-law of Moshe brought an ascending offering and other slaughterings unto Elohim. And Aharon came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with the father-in-law of Moses before Elohim. And it came to be on the next day that Moshe set to rightly rule the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning unto evening. And when the father-in-law of Moshe saw all that he had did for the people, he said, what is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit by yourself and all the people stand before you from morning unto evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because they come to me to seek Elohim. I hope we follow him. I hope we just follow him. Just our mind is being able to put us there in the conversation. We can do that. It's the word of Yahweh. It is no different if you read a book, watching the TV. Your mind can put you there. Yahweh gave us that ability. As I can hear old Rabbi say, your imagination. When they have had a matter, they come to me, and I rightly rule between one and another and make known the laws of Elohim and his that's a footnote, I'm sorry. And the father-in-law of Moses said to him, what are you doing is not good. Both you and these people with you shall certainly wear yourselves out, for the matter is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it by yourself. Now listen to my voice. Let me counsel you, and Elohim be with you. Stand before Elohim for the people, and you shall bring the matters to Elohim, and you shall enlighten them concerning the law and the Torah, and show them the way which they should walk and work, which they do. Both you yourself speak out from all the people, able men who fear Elohim, men of truth, hating unfair gain, and place these over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifty, and rulers of ten. And they shall rightly rule the people at these, and it shall be that they bring every great matter to you, but they themselves rightly rule every small matter. So make it lighter for yourself, for they shall bear with you. If you do this word, and Elohim shall command you, then you shall be able to stand, and all the people also go to their place in peace. And Moshe listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moshe chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifty, and rulers of ten. And they rightly ruled the people at all times. The hard matters they brought to Moshe, but they rightly ruled every small matter themselves. And Moshe sent off his father-in-law, and he went away to his own land. Order was established in Israel. And even till the day of Yahushua, the order was still going on. I know y'all see me sometimes teaching against them, but they sit in Moses' seat. That was an order made that, in fact, he sent down. He allowed that 12 and 70. We don't have that on the paper, but if you got a chance, if you haven't read it, Moses set up a 12 and 70 to govern the nation of Israel. That government will be expanded, family. If you are able to change in the twinkling of an eye, you too will be a part of that government system. It ain't what the world presents to us as, when the Messiah come back, peace. No, it's not. There will have to be heads of state, heads of cities. There will have to be these things going on. Because if Yahweh is coming to set up a worldwide government, Israel must rule the world worldwide. It will be the first truly world government. It will be the first truly one world power. All these people who rose up and we read about, they're world powers, but they're not truly the world power. We talk about total dominance, total control over the whole world, over not just some of it, not just parts of Africa will be left alone. No, every human being will have to be subject to Yahushua. Every human being. Say, shall you labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is mine. Tribe that somewhere tucked away that nobody knows about. There will not be a place on the planet that will not be governed by Yahushua. So that 12 and 70 will expand. Are you worthy of that, though? Do you want to be worthy of that, to sit in judgment, sit in rulership with the king? Just think about the nation of Israel and what is giving us a preview of what's supposed to be done, what is done in the heavens that will be done on earth. His will be done on earth when all the princesses, because it wasn't just priests, it was also princesses, what we would say council members, or what we look at as today, and when we have a council down Baltimore, or a Congress in the United States, that will be set up like that. When he talks about in my father's house, in my father's mansion, there are many places, many homes. He ain't talking about, he's talking about stations, jobs, rulerships. Because it is, the world has put in our mind that, hey, when he come back, we're floating through the tulips. That's it. No, it's government time. It's rulership time. It's time to bring out the sword. And mankind will have no more free will. We will have no more free will. Oh, yeah. He will have no more free will. If you don't come up, as the scripture says, and believe in the book of Nehemiah, to do the tabernacle, you won't get no rain. So that means that someone may not do what he actually did. But trust me, judgment will be done expediently. Expediently. You'll be dealt with quick. It won't be like, we got to wait. No. Wherever they are, there will be someone in rulership under Yahushua. But we have to be worthy. But while we went here, Abba wanted to show, as we went into Matityahu 23:1-3, that the order, even in Yahushua's days, that what he set up through Moshe is still going on. That's what, family, still today. We know the world don't believe it, but do we believe it? Do we believe order is still a part of Israel? Do we believe that? Let's go to Matityahu 18. And we ask you to go to Matthew 18, family. And we're reading the whole chapter. And follow along. Please just Shema. Tell you how the world had presented Yahweh's word. It just throws a lot of people off, even Israelites, who like to go in and pick and choose, and as our brother said, smoke it for the word. It throws a lot of people off. They take things out of context and content. So follow, because there's a specific message that Abba Yah is talking about, and he stayed on that line. He may go over here, it may go over there a little bit, as what y'all was hearing a brother say, he went off on a tangent. Yahushua doing the same thing, but it's still under the same thought that he started off with. Tangent is just the thoughts that's coming that speaks to what he's talking about. But we, as his Talmudim, as his disciples and his children, we got to hear from his voice and follow along with the thoughts that he gives us. Tityahu 18:1, family. At that time, the taught ones came to Yahushua saying, who then is the greatest in the reign of the heavens? And Yahushua called a little child to him, set him in their midst. Follow, family, please follow. Follow and hear Shema's word. Peep the scene. Put yourself there. Go there in your spirit. I know we don't have no pictures of Yahushua, and if you got the picture of Caesar Bull there, get rid of that. Just put a blank space there. Put the burning bush there if you have to put something there. You know, we have those images in our mind that's been implanted in our minds our whole life, right? But follow it. Because the whole time, he don't move. He's still there out this whole chapter. We're going to read. At that time, the taught ones came to Yahushua saying, who then is greater in the reign of the heaven? And Yahushua called a little child to him, set him in their midst, and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become as little children, you shall by no means enter into the reign of heaven. I got to stop a little bit, because we got to follow. We're following. This is the top one. This is the 12, and the 70 could be. But I know at least the 12 is talking. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest? Yeah, they get nerve enough to even ask Yahushua, who going to be the greatest in the heavens? Who going to be talked about the most? Who going to be favored the most? And what Yahushua do with them? This Talmud, this Talmudim, he brings in a little child and tells them that they have to be like this little child. Can you imagine that? Sitting there, you grown person, someone tell you, you have to be like this little child. But he going to break it down for him. Whoever then humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the reign of the heaven. So it's about humility even from the priesthood. Was talking, and that's who want to know who's going to be greater. But the first thought that Yahushua give them, if you must become like a little child. Attributes of children. But one of the first things he wanted them to know is you must humble yourself. Become like this little child. You must be humbled. Funny, right? I'm always setting things up for you. Always. Conversation. I was in here just before and I had the lights off and Mackenzie came in. Why are you in the dark, Daddy? I said, I'm just laying here waiting for they have to go on blog. I'm sitting in there, I'm meditating. And she said, you know what made me not afraid of the dark? Because you used to always tell me that the demons are scared of Yahweh. They can't beat Yahweh, that they run from his name. And it almost brought me to tears when she said it, right? But I didn't let her know. I should have. But she said, I used to say his name all the time, over and over again. And I felt like it was a force field, a shield surrounding me. This is when she was a kid, right? I felt like, so ever since then, I wasn't afraid of the dark. And that helped me not to be afraid of the dark because I felt like I had a shield around me. Where every night before I went to bed, I would say his name over and over again. Yahweh, Yahweh. And the boy, you talking about someone just like, oh, that feeling that you get when they listen. But she was a child and totally different story now, though. But that's the thing. Children believe what their parents say. They believed it. They didn't question it. And that's even Abba want us to believe, but he even say, well, prove me. If you don't believe me, prove me. But that right there is what Yahweh is talking about. We must become as these little children and believe his word, the order that he has set up. So, and another thing was the human experience. They don't want nobody over top of them. They don't want nobody telling them what to do and what they can do, what they can't do. That's why Yahweh is not looked at as favorable. Every other mighty one in the world and is looked at as favorable because there's in their mind some sense of liberty, some sense of I could do what I want to do and still be saved. It's not so with Yahweh, not so with Yahushua, right? Don't nobody want to be told what to do. And truth be told, for us who have been walking his way, it's hard for us. For again, whoever then humble himself as this little child is the greatest in the reign of the heavens. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Listen, as Rabbi will say, don't read over it. He's talking to the Talmudim. Now the Talmudim, this little child, represents the people. So the Talmudim, the Kohanim, the priests, those who are in rulership, those who Abba have set up over the congregation throughout the world, have to come to understand who the children is and how we are to receive them. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. What Yahushua just did for that little child, he gave him his name, right? But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble. Read this many times and we took it as is not talking. He's talking to the Talmudim, the Kohanim, representing the children, representing the people. But they talking about who's going to be the greatest. Causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble. For him, that a millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. He told you, Kohanim, cause one of these little ones to believe, who believe in me, is better for you. That millstone out around your neck and throw yourself in the ocean. For that little one, that lay person who believes in me, 7. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. For it is necessary that stumbling blocks come. But woe to that man by whom the stumbling block comes. It is necessary for us to mess up. It is necessary for us to stumble and fall so we know how to get up. Woe to that Talmudim. Woe to that priest who causes one to stumble. Woe to those in leadership who causes one to stumble. And if your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or crippled rather than having two hands or two feet to be thrown into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it away from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be thrown into the fire of Sheol. I know that I'm not even going to go there with that one, what that says. You know, that's that Christian, that Greek thought behind that. I'm like, nope. 10 family. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in the heavens, their messengers always see the face of my Father who is in the heavens. Listen, what is he saying, family? What is Yahushua still saying to the Talmudim? See that you do not despise one of these little ones. How is it that we in leadership and you despising some of the congregation? Worthy of the calling. Of the calling. We are in Moses' feet. And put it more home, Yahushua feet. We represent him. We know how he dealt with the lay people. We know how he dealt with the leaders. He came down on them. But the lay people, he loved. He understood. He loved. And listen to him. Read it again. See, you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you, that in the heavens, their messengers, their angels, always. So what did he just tell us? So in their council, in the heavens, and they all meeting, council, Father, of that one that you despise, guess what he going to do? Father, yell. He offended such and such. You know, Baba Ariel, such and such. You know he did. You know what he did. He offended them with his word. Yeah, Ariel did that. Yeah, that's him. He did it with his word. Yeah, yep. And you know, because I'm over that one's life, Father. And I was there. I was in the presence when Brother Ariel went in too hard and didn't have compassion, didn't have mercy on him. I was right there. I was writing it down because I understood how Brother Zodok, whatever, felt, or Sister, whoever, felt. I understood that. I saw how that made them feel. So in their council, they're giving that report. I don't know if we believe it or not, but I believe it. And it says, and the books were open. So we know each and every time we do something that is being written down. I hope we do. And the books were open. Confirm that for us. How we treat the lady. There's elevation. There's different levels. and you are held to a higher standard than delay. I don't care what walk. If I offended someone at my job, if I offended someone just riding down the street, I better ask for forgiveness for my actions. I better ask for forgiveness for my actions and how I treated someone. Because that angel that's over top of them, he's going back and giving an account when they have their counsel. Same thing as we read in the book of Job, just to give some clarity to that, a thought to that. He says, when the sons of God meeting with the Father, and Hillel came, Satan came, that was in council. That was in council. And everybody was giving account on what happened. I don't know if we believe it, but I believe the word of Yahweh. I believe it. And I ask for forgiveness daily. And I pray y'all do too. Because we're human, living this human experience. But that's no excuse. Meaning, I'm not saying that because we have an excuse. We don't. We don't have no excuse. We don't. All we have is to get better. Get better. To try not to offend. Try not to offend. 11. For the Son of Adam has come to save what is lost, which is passed down to the Talmudim. Now he's given them his credentials. Now he's given them why he's here, what his mission is about. I picked y'all so y'all can also save what is lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them go astray, will he not leave the 99 on the mountain, going to seek the one that is straying? So you saying, Yahushua, that if the flock is good, and one sheep strays away from the flock, that you leave the flock to go get that sheep? Are you telling us that that's our job, Yahushua? And if he should find it, truly I'll say to you, he rejoices more over the sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Wow. Because that one got lost. And I said in my word that I shall not lose one. But we can't go. Now that's we got to break that down too. We can't go and make someone come back. But it's our job to go and search for them. And not in the sense that we got to go and look up .com, this and that, and the other. In the sense that we know where they're at and they're leaving and they're lost, we got to go at least try to see why they're leaving the fold. And if we can rectify that, whatever's going on, and bring them back to the fold. Now, somebody shoot me a text if they're not seeing that and I'm seeing something wrong. If that's not what Yahushua is saying. To the Talmudim. Because remember, we stand in what he's talking about. He's talking about from the very first question that was asked of him. Now he's just laying down things. He's bringing things in as what we would say going in the tangent. Now, I don't want to go too far to the left or to the right. I want to stay on that line of thinking. 13 again. And if he should find it, truly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go. It is not he, the desire of your Father who is in the heavens, that one of these little ones should be lost. 15. And if your brother sin against you, go and convict him between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not hear, take with you one or two more. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word might be established. Right? 17. And if he refuses to hear, then say to it,
to the assembly. I mean, say it to the assembly. And if he refuses even to hear the assembly, let him be to you like the nation and a tax collector. Wow. Like the nation and a tax collector. And in other words, excommunicate him out of the congregation. Period. But these harsh words, that's not the Messiah that I know. I know going to love everybody. He did. Showed us these steps in to go in. Excuse me, family. To take. He gave us steps to take. It ain't that he wanted that brother's or sister's heart to be hardened. Want that little bit of leaven in the inside of the congregation. Get rid of that leaven at that point. Because that's what that brother or sister is showing. That they are filled with leaven. They don't want to conform to the ways of Yahweh. Because if they did want to conform, they would apologize. They would make it right. If a brother or sister came to you and said that you have offended me, you have did me wrong in this area, what we should be is apologetic immediately. Not to get hard-headed and stiff-necked that the brother or sister have to go get another brother or sister. And you won't, and we don't hear that. Then he have to take you before the elders of the congregation, and he don't hear that. So those are levels of love that Yahushua is showing that must be taken before a brother or sister is excommunicated. But when that last draw, when it gets to the council of Yahweh, the priest, it ain't talking about the whole congregation. He's talking about the priest. Remember where we started from. And they have to make a ruling. You know what? We got the excommunication. You're not trying to conform to the word of Yahweh. And it's all probably over the smallest matter. But that human experience, right? Not wanting to be told what to do. 18. Truly I'll say to you, whatever you bound on earth having been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be having been loose in heaven. And what are they talking about? He's talking about these oaths that we take sometimes, these vows that we take sometimes, because that was an oath that their brother, where are we coming from? But we're following the thought. We're coming from, he's giving an outline on how to deal with an issue. That brother or that sister, what happened? In the beginning, they may have took the dip. And in that dip, they made an oath. Baptized, that is. They made an oath to the Most High. Said, yes, I will live how you want me to live. Yes, they said yes to the covenant. So they made a vow. They made an oath. Yes. You know what? That's the power that y'all have. What y'all do righteously here on earth, we're going to allow it up in the heavens. So, you know what? Your oath is no more valid. We took that bond and we loosed it. That oath. In many ways. You thought, think about the marriages. What Yahweh said, Yahushua said, Yahweh said about the marriages, and why Moshe gave them a bill of divorcement because of the hardness of their heart. And then what he says about marriage, right? Another oath that's being taken. Another vow that's being taken. Now, them people who want to get married, they come before the congregation, they come before the elders, and they get married, they're taking an oath. So whatever that priest, whoever they went in front of, Yahweh at the moment, and he allowed that vow to be taken, the heavens looked at that and said, you know what? That up here too. Now you go before the congregation assembly, the priest again, or you want to disannul that? You're no longer, they won't make that order, but they will allow it. You want, say, I don't want this marriage no more. People look and say, because of the priest, what they said, but allow that vow to be disannulled. That decision for you. It will not. It ain't for them to make that decision for you. It's for them to bind it or loosen it. And the many others just given a couple of examples of what this word is talking about right here. Because again, Israel got to be taught that word. Got to be taught. We all do. We grew up in this Judeo-Christian society. We all been tainted the word of Yahweh. And it got to be straightened back out. 18 again. Truly I'll say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be having been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be having been loose in heaven. Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning any matter that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in the heavens. Counselship, counseling, when you're coming together and counsel. That ain't talking about, you know, you were here every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Yeah, you, because in the King James would read two or three in my name, I am there. The Judeo-Christian mindset have tore up the way people see the word of Yahweh. It has tore it up. Talking about that. Talking about counselship. When y'all in council. Do we believe that the counsel of Yahweh is still in effect today? Or we have to go outside of the counsel of Yahweh? Do we believe that it's still in effect today? And we're talking about this during the time of Yahushua. What about today? What about in Shaul's time? What about in Kephas' time when Yahushua went off the scene? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Again, gathered together in counselship in my name. You hear that all the time. You know he in that midst of us in two or three. Oh, ah. Human experience. Let's move on. Then Kepha came to him and said, Master, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Yahushua said to him, I do say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Because of this, the reign of the heavens is like a certain man, a sovereign who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was unable to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had had and payment to be made. Then the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have and I shall pay you all. And the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. And the servant went out. And who was the master, family? Yahushua, right? But listen to what he said. As that servant,
And what is the debt? Sin, right? Sin. We are sinners, saved by grace. We all are sinners. But he was moved to compassion. But that servant dropped down on them knees and asked for forgiveness. No, that sinner dropped down on them knees and asked for forgiveness. And that sinner went out and found, can I just change that word for this time, family? Am I doing too much? I'm going to read that like that. And that sinner went out and found one of his fellow sinners, listen, who owed him 100. And he laid a hand on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Then his fellow sinner fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I shall pay you all. Listen. Listen to what he said. That one sinner, the master, forgave him, had compassion on him. But we as sinners don't want to forgive other sinners. Against us. Hold that against them. That gave us a different thought. Way of seeing this. So hard against other sinners. We are sinners ourselves. Fellow sinner fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I shall pay you all. Listen, but he would not, and went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. And what is that prison, Jews, that we have to one another until we feel like we're getting over it? The way we treat one another because someone has disappointed us and didn't do what we wanted them to do. How we think they should act. And when his fellow sinners saw what he had done, they went. They were deeply grieved and came and reported it to their master, all that had taken place. And again, that's when we talked about this a little earlier, family, if we remember, when he said, the messengers go back if we have offended one of these little ones. So in that sinner, the other sinner, offended them. They get down on their knees, right? And they pray. So who is these fellow servants? The messengers. Messengers who have to go back and report. Showed on that sinner, he not showing the other sinners. She not showing the other sinners. They move because they see what Yahushua do for us. Say that one to another. Seeing the word a little different light tonight. That we ain't got no more excuses on how we are. I'm going to change this one too. Then Yahushua called him and said to him, wicked sinner, I forgave you all. Beg me. Prayed and asked for forgiveness. Do not also have compassion on your fellow sinner. Also had compassion on you. And Yahushua was wroth. We don't want Yahushua mad with us, our brothers and sisters. Limit him through the tortures until he should pay all that was. Your life may be going through troubles. Why? One another. Yahushua ain't put this there just to fill up a page. No shalom in your mind. Sinners, the demons are on you. I don't want to exclude myself. on us. Because we wasn't that way towards our brother and sister. We wasn't. We didn't have compassion on understanding that we all are sinners saved by grace. But we sometimes want people to be where we are and how we see and perceive things. And Yahushua was wroth and delivered him to the torture until he should pay all that was due to him. So also, my Father in heaven shall do to you if you each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother and his trespass. Amen. His fellow sinner. And all this come from them asking who's going to be the greatest. Asking who shall be the greatest. Yahushua went through a whole line of things and answering that question. As we would say, going into tangents. But no, he's given us life truth so we can be better servants for him. That is the layperson and the Kohanim. Good to family and those who had an ear, they heard where we were going at glory. That is 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 4, family. And listen, listen to the tone of Brother Shaul. And not just Brother Shaul, listen to the tone of Yahushua that's speaking through Brother Shaul. A lot of times we believe that it's just their personality. You know, when Rabbi goes off, that's just his personality. That's just, no, that man is a meek man, Brother Yaquiel. And I see at times when he's trying to hold the fire back. But tone that Yahushua comes through. Listen, should any of you holding a matter against another go to be judged before the unrighteous and not before the set apart one? Listen, he didn't say that nice. I'm bringing y'all this system, Corinthians, believers. I brought to y'all a system, a governmentship, and I showed y'all the way that you should do it. Not to these unrighteous judges in court just downtown, but to the righteous judges that have been set up. Know that the set apart one shall judge the world, and if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? To how the spirit of Yahushua coming through Brother Shaul, not in no, well, you know what though, how y'all going to be acting like that? Don't act like that. No, it's coming through with force. The human spirit, the human soul have to be dealt with that way. To some, move off them spirits that's holding on to us. So he can get down and say, hey, this surgeon, say no light matter. Do you not know that we shall judge messengers, angels? How much more matters of this life? Listen to what Shaul was saying to the people. Hold on. Y'all done went downtown to the courthouse downtown, to the Perrin Mitchell Courthouse, downtown Baltimore, to settle a matter between two believers, and didn't go, I set up, believe in me. Got you set up to judge angels, judge the world. That's flesh. You can't follow the order that I set up. I told y'all earlier, that we did anything. That judgment system that Brother Yepto, Moses' father-in-law, helped him to see and set up
that will be expanded to everyone, not just to Kohanim when Yahushua will come back. It will be expanded to everyone who changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's what he's saying right here. Hold on, man. Y'all know that what's in store for y'all? That it ain't just floating around in the heavens, that it's going to be work to be done? Judgment going to have to be taking place? Do you not know that we shall judge messengers? How much more matters of this life? If then you truly have judgment of this life, you as judges who are least esteemed by the assembly, who are least esteemed by the assembly. Meditate on that and see what he's talking about. Father, love the children. Children, love the father. Amen. I'm going to turn the heart of the father back to the children and the children's heart back to the father. Amen. Shalom, family. That is the end of my blog talk tonight. And I'll see y'all later on today. We'll be feasting a little bit more. Looking forward to what Yahweh have given Brother Deuel and what he will bring through the messenger who will have to teach for the Shabbat and also Yom Tov. Amen. Let me close with the benediction and then say the closing prayer. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Toda, once again, Abba Yah, for giving us your word, Abba. Thank you for your continued steadfastness of your love, Father, that you never waver, Father. It is us who waver, Father. So we thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your appointed seasons, Father. Thank you for this 24-hour period that we be able to just rest in you, Father. Allow us to take advantage of this time, Father, to lay down our burdens, Father, to bask in your glory, Father. May you touch and remove anything that's ailing your son. My earbud went off, but I'm still on. I'm just going to put it on speaker. You just heard it go off, too. That's something. Excuse me, Father. Give me a minute. Hopefully y'all can still hear me. Hear me. Speak to Deuel Abiyah. Remove anything that's holding his spirit back, Father. Remove any distractions, Father Yah. Put that sword in his hand, Father, and allow him to fight those demons that come his way. Allow him to remove those demons, Father. Give him the understanding that he has the power. He has the authority under Yahushua HaMashiach, Father. Father, y'all ask and pray for the more rain after Deuel, Father, that you do the same for him, Father. I ask and pray for all your more rain, Father, that they keep that sword sharp in their hand, Father, and they understand the authority that you have given them, Father. I ask and pray for all your little ones, Father, y'all, the whole household of Beth Yahweh, Father, that they understand the authority that was given to them also, Father, and the role that they must play in bringing forth your kingdom, Father. Because we all have a role, Father, in bringing forth your kingdom. Thank you, Abba Yah, for giving us your son, for giving us your holy day, Father. Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Shalom, family. Shabbat shalom, Abba Yah. Shabbat shalom. Yes, Rob.
According to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak, and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach such transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Elohim, the Elohim of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Yah, open up my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you desire not sacrifice, else I would give it. You delight not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O Elohim, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure unto Zion. Build you the walls of Jerusalem. Then shall you be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar.
You must do it today.